अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शिला हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश की जय। जय जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की जय। श्री श्री गौरताय की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to symbol devotees, all glories to symbol devotees, all glories to symbol devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kalpatarubhyas chakrapa sindhubhya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is second canto, chapter 7, text 25. वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दंतेर विडंबित ककुब्जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्यो अशुभी सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विस्फूर्जिते धनुष उच्चरतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दंतेर विडंबित ककुब्जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्यो अशुभी सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विस्फूर्जितेर धनुष उच्चरतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दंतेर विडंबित ककुब्जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्ये अशुभी सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विस्फूर्जितेर धनुष उच्चरतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह वित जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्यो अशुभी सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विश्वोजितेर धनुष उच्चारतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह कुम्भित ककुब्जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्यो शुभी सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विस्फूर्जितेर धनुष उच्चरतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दंतेर विडंबित ककुब्जुष ऊढ़हासम सद्यो शुभी सहो विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर विस्फूर्जितेर धनुष उच्चरतो अधिशैन्ये। वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दंतेर्विडंबित कुकुब्ज शूलहासम सद्योषभि सह विनेश्यति दारहर्तुर् विस्फूर्जितेर्दन्तः शूर उच्चरतो धिष्णे वक्षस्थलस्पर्शरुग्ण महेन्द्रवाहो दन्तेर्विडम्बित ककुब्ज शूलहासम् सद्यो शुभ सह विनिष्यतिर्दारहर्ष विस्फूर्जितेर्धनुष उच्चरत अधीशेन्ये वैष्णवीस वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दन्तेर्विडम्बित ककुशूलहासम् विनेश्यतिदारहर्तुर् वक्षस्थल स्पर्श रुग्ण महेन्द्र वाह दन्तेर्विडम्बित ककुब्जुष ऊढहासम् सद्यो नारहर्तुर् विस्फूर्जितेर्धनुष उच्चरतो अधीयैन्ये Anyone else? So read the translation and purport and word for word meaning and translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vakshasthala chest sparsha touched by rugna broken Maha Indra, the king of heaven. Vaha, the conveyor. Dante, by the trunk. Virambita, illuminated. Kakubjusha, all directions that's being served. Urahasam, overtaken by laughter. Sadhya, within no time. Ashubhi, by the life. Saha, along with. Vineshati, was killed. Darahartu, of the one who kidnapped his wife. Excuse me, of the one who kidnapped the wife. Visfurjite, by the tingling of the bow, dhanushaha, bow, uccharataha, strolling, fast, hadishenye, in the midst of the fighting soldiers of both the sides. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. But Ravana was engaged in the battle. The trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke in pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana. And the scattered broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with this very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Lord Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. Purport. However powerful a living being may be, when he is condemned by God, no one can save him. And similarly, however weak one may be, if he is protected by the Lord, no one can annihilate him. Om Gyanati Vrindasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuruna Tamyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Yeah, first off, I'd like to thank Suhas Prabhu for allowing me to speak as a guest speaker today. And the very day when he just told me, on Monday, he told me to just speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was contemplating on what to speak upon. This is exactly a situation where in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand when Lord Krishna left this world, he instructed Uddhava that Maitreya should be giving this Srimad Bhagavatam to who? Vidura. Because Vidura is a dear devotee of Krishna, and Krishna understood very well that Vidura will be lamenting his departure from this world. So just to pacify him, he had instructed Uddhava to give this message to Maitreya Rishi, so that Maitreya Rishi can actually narrate this Srimad Bhagavatam to Vidura. And Maitreya Rishi actually thanks Vidura because of him, he was actually allowed to speak Srimad Bhagavatam and could actually purify his senses. And exactly, I also thank the same way Suhas Prabhu for allowing me to speak on Bhagavatam, because otherwise we've been just indulging in mundane activities. But for these 3 days, I was just thinking and contemplating as to speak upon what subject matter. But eventually, I've just drilled down to a subject matter. And I was also praying to Srila Prabhupada for my impudence, because he has just written a very short purport, and I'm supposed to be commenting on this purport, and also supposed to be commenting on this verse. So while thinking, then Archita Prabhu also suggested that, you know, Ramachandra Prabhu's pastimes is being discussed here. And also, coming forward, Krishna and Balaram's pastimes will be discussed further. So I was thinking, and I thought, should I talk about Krishna or Ramachandra? But eventually, inspiration came to my mind, and I thought, let me talk about Mother Sita, because Sita Navami was yesterday. Not enough of us has been talking about Mother Sita. So we could say where the inspiration is coming from. So I was just ruminating, and on Sunday, Prabhupada gave a lecture. And the verse was, Shrunavatam Svakatham Krishna Punya Shramana Kirtana Hridyantastha Badrani Vidhanoti Suhidat Satam. So this is our prerogative. This is our duty. What we have to do is, Shrunavatam Svakatha Krishna, we have to listen to Krishna Katha and also narrate Krishna Katha. It purifies the listener as well as this purifies the speaker also at the same time. And Punya Shravana Kirtana and Hridayantastha Abhadrani, the Hridayanta, the inside the heart, the Abhadra which is there, it's completely vanquished. Vidhunoti Srivat Satam, just by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, listening to wonderful Krishna Katha and Rama Katha. So thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much for doing that and doing that to me. And of course, Mother Sita is the eternal mother, eternal consort of Lord Ramachandra. And she's also an expansion of Srimati Radharani, the original pleasure potency of Krishna. And how we understand this and what gives us the authority to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam and also especially on Mother Sita and also Srimati Radharani. It's been discussed, the coming up chapter, the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, very second canto, the very first verse, talks about the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And a lot of people miss this point. In fact, in my experience, I've seen Prabhupada came to this Western world to give this love of Godhead to everyone. He didn't come here to just spread Hinduism. A lot of people misunderstand this, especially in India. They think, you know, it's what he has just come here to just give Hinduism, some kind of a religion. No, he has come here to just give this love of Godhead. And where do you get that from? Srimad Bhagavatam gives us that love of Godhead. Like there are five subject matters which have been discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada talks about that in the preface of Bhagavad Gita. Which is those five subject matters? Which is Prakriti, Purusha, Ishvara, Kala, Karma. The five subject matters which is being discussed. It's not talking about any Hinduism. It's not a Hindu scripture. At least I can remember, even after about 800 years of Muslim rule in India especially, and and also 400 years of British rule in India, close to about 1,200 years. Imagine about 1,200 years means almost close to about 24 generations of rule. Still this Sanatana Dharma is still existing, and Prabhupada came here to just give that Sanatana Dharma. We can imagine what could have been the impact. Especially and when on 4th of July in Washington, D.C., when we set up this Festival of India, in the four corners, there are always the Christian group are standing and standing and standing, and what they're doing the whole day, they're trying to chastise. Says, you guys, this is according to this book, you guys will go to hell. So once it so happened that, you know, he was just speaking in the mic, so I went and grabbed that mic and said, he said, you guys will go to hell according to this book. I said, I don't mind actually going to hell. So he said, why? I said, just because I won't find you there. As long as I don't find you there and I don't find you coming and judging me, I don't mind going to hell. And it's been said, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Naraka api tulyarthi darshana. Bhagavatam says, for a Vaishnava, swarga apavarga narakeshapi tulyarthi darshana. For a Vaishnava, there is swarga, apavarga, narakesh. Everything is the same. So what he's going to go and do is just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna. So a lot of people missed this point. 800 years, 400 years, and after that, Sanatana Dharma is still existing. And Prabhupada came to give this. And this exactly the same 10 subject matters being discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's nothing to do with Hinduism. Atra sargo visargascha, the second canto, 10th chapter, first verse. It's coming up. Atra sargo visargascha, sthanam poshanamuti, manuvantara, ishanukatha, Nirodha, Mukti, and Ashraya. So these 10 subject matters are there. This is what is being discussed. But our acharyas go one step further. Like the 5 subject matters being discussed in Bhagavad Gita, they go one step further. Let's say Krishna Prema. I mean, we are missing. Dharmartha, Kama, Moksha are the achievables, are the deliverables of Vedic culture. So, but something beyond that is Krishna Prema, which is actually normally missed by ordinary people. But that is Krishna Prema is actually hidden. Exactly the same way, these 10 subject matters which we talked about. Sarga, we know Sarga is creation. Sargo Visarga is sub-creation. Sthana means places been created, like earth and different planets have been created. Utayaha, Utaya is creative impetus. Sargo Visarga is sthanam, poshanam. Poshanam is protection. And Manuvantara. Different Manus are being described, Manuvantara, Ishanukatha, we are actually discussing that, all the avatars. Lord Brahma is talking to Narada about all the avatars, all this incarnation of Krishna. So, Ishanukatha. Then, Nirodha. Nirodha means refraining or annihilating or completing this creation. Then, Mukti. Mukti means liberation or bhakti, you could say. Then there's Ashraya. Ashraya means one which has to be taken shelter of. Who has to be taken shelter of? Ashraya. But our acharyas go beyond this Ashraya and they say there's also Vishaya. Every subject has to have an object. Like, you know, especially in English grammar, we can see that, you know, there's a subject and there's also a predicate. So every subject has to have an object. So what is that object? The Ashraya. And if there's an Ashraya, there has to be a Vishaya. And what is that Vishaya? That Vishaya is actually Krishna Prem, and that Vishaya is the internal potency of Krishna, which is represented by Srimati Radharani, and whose expansion is Srimati Rukmini Devi and also Sita Devi. So that gives us the, because just because our acharyas reveal that secret to us, that gives us the qualification to speak about that 11th subject matter in Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been hidden by our acharyas, have given to us. And this is Nectar of Devotion also gives us all this. And more importantly, we create itam, rajavadum, itam cha Vishnu. So in 10th canto, 33rd chapter, in 39th verse, it talks about how we create itam, rajavadur, itam cha Vishnu, shraddhanvito anushrunayad, atha varna yediha. I mean, these wonderful pastimes of Vishnu and the consorts of Vishnu, this wonderful pastime, if one listens out of our reverence, varnayet, and also at the same time one actually explains that same thing. Bhakti param bhagavati pratilabhikamam hridrogam asu apnohoti achirena dhira. The hridroga, the suffering, the material suffering, Aham and mameti. This is what we are suffering from this world, right? Aham and me and mine. Me and mine. Everything is me. Everything is mine. My son, my daughter. I came to see my son here. So everything is me and mine. So this material affliction, this suffering, will be vanquished completely if we listen to that wonderful pastime of the gopis and Krishna. So that gives us a qualification actually to talk about this. Talk about Mother Sita, talk about Mother Rukmini and also Srimati Radharani. And of course, the mothers are very merciful, more merciful than the fathers. It's a fact. It's really a fact. Prabhupada also mentions about this. So I'd like to just dwell upon two aspects of Mother Sita, of her mercy, before I actually end up this discussion here. And before that, I want to talk about this purport Prabhupada is mentioning here. About Prabhupada has many times mentioned this in this room conversation and also in his lectures about Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. This is exactly Prabhupada is translating here. Mare Krishna, if Krishna has decided to kill somebody, then who is going to actually protect him? Or Krishna has decided to protect somebody, who is going to actually kill him? So Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. The Prabhupada is talking about that. And there's also one particular word here which caught my mind, was Udahasam. Udahasam is mostly Attahasam. There are many kinds of hasam, many kinds of laughter, and that's been described in Vedic scriptures. Attahasam is something which is Udahasam, almost comes close to Attahasam. So just to understand that, sometimes when we are actually watching a match, some kind of a match, and whosoever is interested in whatever kind of sports you're watching, then our team is winning. Then what we do is just, we are so elated that, you know, we clap hands, we jump, and that's attahasam. And that's exactly ulahasam. That's exactly Ravana was doing. He was thinking that he has completely won. The battle has been completely won. But before, and he really could not understand that, you know, the bow of Ramachandra was waiting to really kill him and completely. So this is also giving us an example. Just to make sure that, you know, we don't actually do an Udahasam in our life. So otherwise, Lord Ramachandra's bow is waiting. Especially not for the Vaishnavas, of course. Vaishnavas, they don't have to fear for anything. Of course, the Lord Ramachandra's bow actually protects the Vaishnavas. We know about that. So just for general populace, that's actually an example that's been given to us. It's actually a teaching for us just to not really be complacent about our life. And especially, there are so many wonderful pastimes of Mother Sita with Lord Ramachandra, but especially, like I said, I want to talk about two qualities of Mother Sita. This is the mercy of Mother Sita. So this goes back to when Lord Ramachandra dispatches Hanuman. He dispatches many monkey warriors and many even you could say bears and other creatures to different directions, just to find Mother Sita. But he had given the special mercy to Hanuman, and by the special mercy he just gave his ring to Hanuman, because he knew very well that Hanuman was the one who would actually be finding out Sita. So he eventually, when Hanuman finds out Sita, he just finds out Sita and comes back to Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra asks this question. So this is a beautiful, wonderful teaching by Mother Sita, and we have to inculcate in our life. This is what we can learn. So Hanuman says, Lord Ramachandra says, so how is she holding up? I mean, she is never separated from me, and for so many times, so many months. Ramayana, there are three Ramayanas, the most important Ramayanas, Valmiki Ramayana and Kamba Ramayana, they describe about some 11 months and 31 days or something like that. So close to that much of time when actually Mother Sita was away from Lord Ramachandra. She cannot even spend a single moment without me. How is she holding up? How is she just staying in Lanka? So Hanuman explains how she is actually holding up. He says, Goswami Tulsidas nicely explains about this. He writes a verse. He says, Naam tuharu divasunisi dhyana tumara kapat. So what it means is, This body is actually city of nine gates, and there are pancha prana. There is a prana inside the heart, and the soul is in there. So, but for the prana to leave, or the soul to leave the body, it has to leave from any of these gates. But in this body, he says, in Sita's body, there is a gate. There is a gate, and there is also a gatekeeper. We see that normally, in especially some establishments, they have a gate and also a gatekeeper, right? He watches and allows people to come in, allows people to go out, like Jai Vijaya, the gatekeepers of the celestial world, like the Vaikuntha Loka. And there's also a gate. And we also understand from Srimad Bhagavatam how when the Chatuskumara, they went tried to enter into Vaikuntha, they stopped by putting a stick. So that's the gate and the gatekeepers. So for Mother Sita, Namatumaru, she is actually chanting your name all the time. So that's actually her. What is that? That's the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is chanting the holy name of Lord. That is, that's what she's doing. 24 hours she's just chanting your name. Rama, Rama, Rama. Or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. See, she's chanting incessantly your name. So that's keeping her, one. That's one thing. And what are the gatekeepers? Dhyana tumara kapat. She's always thinking about you. That's the gate, actually. So with the presence of this gate, which is dhyana, which is thinking about you all the time, and also chanting your name, how can you expect that prana to leave that body? Or for that matter, even if the prana leaves that body, it takes another body where the same thing would be happening, chanting of the glories of the holy name, and also thinking about Krishna. So there's no way the prana is actually leaving the body. So this is one teaching from Mother Sita we have to learn and inculcate in our life, which is especially just chanting the holy name all the time and also thinking about Krishna, about serving Krishna all the time. So it's one of the beautiful teachings from Mother Sita. And like I said, mothers are very merciful, so as Mother Sita is very merciful. The second teaching is from same Ramayana. So this is during the time when Hanuman had completely, before Hanuman actually burns Lanka, you see these Rakshasis, these demonesses. They are actually, they give lot of inconvenience to Mother Sita. So Hanuman is just watching from a distance. He says he's watching from a distance. Then finally he just gives his credentials to Mother Sita, gives the ring and identifies himself. Mother Sita says, is everyone in Lord Ramachandra's army like you? Because when Hanuman went, he just went in a very small form. He just assumed a very small form. He wanted to just hide from all the demons. So when he just in that small form, he may have went there. Mother Sita was a little disturbed. She says, is everyone like you, small like you? And how are you going to defeat such a big army of Ravana? It's impossible for you to defeat. Then Hanuman shows his Virata Rupa, his huge, huge, huge expansion. He expands. Then Mother Sita is actually kind of, pacified that, now it's possible. Now it's possible that these demons can be actually defeated by this army. Then after all these exchanges takes place, he asks Mother Sita, see, look at these demonesses. They're actually troubling you. If you give me permission, I'll take care of them in a jiffy like that. I'll just take care of them. I'll just kill them immediately and so that they don't come back and give you any kind of trouble anymore. So Mother Sita says, no. Hanuman, just by the instructions of Ravana, they're actually troubling me. Or they're apparently thinking that they're just giving me that trouble. They're actually, they're thinking that they're making me suffer. But it's not true. Just because of the instructions, it's not their fault. It's not their fault that, that you think that they're actually giving me trouble. Under no circumstances they're actually giving me trouble. They're all fine. And we should be more merciful towards them because they're just following their master's order. So Mother Sita kind of pardoned in the sins of those demonesses. And Goswami Tulsidas says, the very reason we take this body is just because we are because of our three karmas, which is Sanchitta Kriyamana and Prarabdha Karmas. From the Prarabdha Karma, we've been given a certain portion just to this body, this body has been given to us from the Prarabdha Karma so that from the Sanchitta Karma that we could just, the Prarabdha, we could just go ahead and take care of that. So a little bit of Prarabdha Karma has been given to us. So here, they have just performed a sin at the lotus feet of Mother Sita, which is, he says, Ardha Paradha. Ardha Paradha means a sin which is not even fructified. A sin which has been recently committed. Even that sin has been completely pardoned by Mother Sita. So such is the beauty, such is the love of Mother Sita towards all living entities. And such is the mercy of Mother Sita towards all living entities. So that's one of the other teachings we can actually take from Mother Sita's life and try and incorporate in our life. So these are 2 points, and there are more points. Maybe we are just short of time. I'd like to stop here for any questions and comments. I also wanted to talk about Mother Rukmini and her mercy, especially, and luckily for this particular birth, I was born in Kaundinyapur, the headquarters of Vaidarbhi. That's how Rukmini is also called, Vaidarbhi. So she's from my land. I was thinking where Krishna has taken her. I thought he has just taken her to Dwaraka, but he has brought her here as well. So she's hiding here. So I wanted to talk about that. But anyways, since we are running out of time, I'd like to ask for any kind of comments, questions, or criticisms on this subject matter. Or before we wrap up this talk today, starting from Prabhu. Prarabdha Karma.
And then how can we apply to us? How can we what do we learn?
So like I said, the Prarabdha Karma is Sanchit Kriyamana Prarabdha. Prarabdha Karma is something which is accumulated. Sanchit is something which is accumulated. Prarabdha is what you get in this life so that you can live a life with that kind of karma, and the reactions, actions, it's upon you. So Mother Sita is actually teaching us even the karma, I mean, that sins which have been committed by those demonesses, which is actually current, which has not been fructified, which has not even become Sanchit or Prarabdha, but that has been completely pardoned. So we also have to learn to pardon others at the same time, whosoever actually is performing any kind of offenses towards our lotus feet. Just to learn, we have to learn that from Mother Sita. Just pardoning people, more importantly. Pardoning people for any offense or any offense not committed or even committed for that matter. So that's one of the teachings. This is called Ardha Aparadha. Ardha means half. Half Aparadha. It's not fully fructified. Ardha Aparadha. Yes, Prabhu? Thank you.
But as we know, it was actually also another instruction by Sita Mataji to Ram. Because Lord Ram was actually mind-wise weak. He did not want to let Sita go, as we all know. But it was actually Sita Mataji's instruction to Lord Ram, which is similar to the instruction that was given to Arjun by Krishna. Because as we know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells to Arjun, Kutastva kasmalam idam visame samus pastitam anarya justam asvargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. That this, my dear Arjun, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. As you remember, that it was Sita Mataji who actually told Ram this. that how come you are becoming bodily weak? Because she knew that after Lord Ram had gone and visited the villages, that he had known what was the issue. But Lord Ram was not willing to let Sita go. Mm. So that was also an instruction from Sita Mata to Lord Ram, that why are you becoming bodily weak?
Mm.
So you see, that is a, how are you becoming weak? Because by becoming weak, it's going to lead to your infamy, because you are a king. And he was not just a king, you know, as we know. He was Maryada Purushottam. So that is also another instruction we get from Sita Mataji, that she is actually instructing Lord Ram how to do his duty better.
Mm.
So I just wanted to add that point since you have brought
you.
So many
thank you, Prabhu.
Points.
In fact, in that particular point, our Acharya is actually right. What they say is, this dhamma is actually expansion of Radharani or Mother Sita. Ayodhya is expansion of Mother Sita. Only with the permission of Dhameshwari, Srimati Radharani, one can actually enter Vrindavan Dham. We know that very well, right? So is Ayodhya, the expansion. So our Acharyas say, this is the mercy of Mother Sita. Siyanandak Agog Gosain says that washerman you're talking about, because of whom Lord Ramachandra banished Mother Sita, even that washerman was given a residence in a place by Mother Sita, even though the washerman had actually insulted Mother Sita. So that goes to add the qualification of Mother Sita, how she was so merciful towards even those people who were actually responsible for insulting her. So in her own dhamma, she gives that a place to live for that washerman. So that's one of the facts to be actually discussed by our acharyas. They give us a point. So these are all mercy personified. Mother Sita is mercy personified. So that's how our mothers also have that, get that quality of being extra caring and all that. The whole motherhood is all based on that. So, Prabhu, anyone else, or we can just wrap up here? Yes, Prabhu.
You know, one little thing in the purport, of course, it describes that if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. Mm. And when Krishna wants to kill you, he's going to kill you. Or if he wants to save you, he'll save you. So, where does the principle of karma come in terms of that particular statement? In other words, how do we understand that? Like, for instance, okay, we have so many breaths that we take and we're supposed to die at a particular point in our life. So how do we understand that principle of Krishna will save me or Krishna may kill me? How does that, in terms of how we actually understand the principle of karma, how does that principle work? Where does that fit in our lifestyle?
So your question is, how does the principle of karma work, especially when, based on this statement that when Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can actually save you, and when Krishna wants to save you, nobody can actually kill you. So we understand from Abhimanyu, Krishna was present, Arjuna was present, all the great warriors were present, Yudhishthira was present, but Krishna wanted Abhimanyu to leave his body. Even Krishna could not save Abhimanyu. So, ultimately, the point is, when anyone is surrendered into Krishna, Krishna has his own ways of performing wonderful pastimes. Sometimes we say, it was too early, somebody left too early, he's not supposed to leave, and things like that. But our Acharya's opinion is, Yatte anukampasu samikshamana, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma is mentioning this, Yatte Te anukampas samikshamana bhunjan evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapu bhi vidadhan namaste jivet yo mukti padesa daya bhak. It says, Ette anukampa, whatever Krishna is doing to us, whatever he is doing, ashlishava padaratam pinashtama madarshanam marmahatam karoto, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about, Ette anukampasu samikshamana. Samikshamana means actually understanding that it's all Krishna's mercy. Whatever is happening, good, bad, we think it's just, it's in our perception, we think this is good and something is bad. Bhunjan evatmakritam vipakam. This is understanding that, you know, this is my own karma, my own deeds, which is actually making me suffer or enjoy this. Bhunjan evatmakritam vipakam. Hridvag by hrid. It's not that sometimes we say something and sometimes in our heart of heart we think, oh, that's not true, it's not correct, incorrect. Hridvag vapu. From the heart, from the speech, and from vapu, from the bodily actions as well. Vidadan namaste, just paying obeisance unto Krishna that, you know, this is my karma, which has actually come to me. Jive to you, and then continues to live, continues to chant Hare Krishna, continues to, in his spiritual life, mukti padesadaya bhagavar. Acharya says, actually, bhakti padesadaya bhagavar. Mukti is the same as mukti means something, which mukti means mukti. Mukutanjali. It says, actually, Mukunda is the supremest person who is the one who actually gives us love. That's what is called mukti. Our acharyas explained that mukti is also like the meaning of that. So, we are entitled to, like a son, without any papers. Like, you know, if he just goes to the court and claims that this is my father's property. So the court will have all the right to give that property to the son without asking any questions. The only thing the court will be asking is, anyone has any objections? Nobody. So nobody has an objection. So immediately what they get is just the father's property. So we have a right to get that father's property. The son has a right to get father's property. So exactly the same way one continues with this in this spiritual life, considering everything which has been given to him is by Krishna, one has a right to continue, or one has the right to get the Krishna prema. So, this is the explanation. I mean, I cannot think of something else, like, you know, how the karma works. Karma is so intricate, so difficult to explain that. So
sometimes you see a great saint and sadhu, they leave early. They leave this world early. And they're spreading the names of Krishna and delivering and liberating so many souls.
Yes, exactly.
But then you see an ordinary, mundane person, they live to be 100 years old.
Yeah, of course, like, you know, there's a story. We know, I mean, Prabhupada has also mentioned the story, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, he has mentioned the story, especially if one sinner, and one sadhu comes and sees, looks at the sinner and says, you live for 100 years. Because he gives that boon just because he knows, he foresees that the moment he leaves his body, then he has to go to hell and suffer. And for a sadhu, he says, you leave your body immediately. Because he sees that the sadhu is leaving the body, he's going to go back to Godhead. So like that. So that kind of, that example can be applicable there. So.
Good enough. Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari.
Nice.